This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Folks, we know there's waste, fraud, and corruption in the federal government, right? But it's the staggering level of it that boggles the mind. If you have to guess, in the Biden administration, all 4 years, how much money was spent on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs? Basically programs, there's nothing to show for it, and a whole lot of Marxist propaganda. Stuff like FEMA's program to, quote, instill equity as a foundation of emergency management, or the Labor Department's push to, quote, embed equity in a sustainable manner that recognizes the multiple overlapping identities held by workers, or the Defense Department's plan to integrate environmental and economic justice tools into all of its training modules. Yeah, that. If you had to guess how much the federal government spent on DEI programs, what would you guess? I think, like, worst case scenario, it'd have to be what? $250, $300 billion? I mean, do you know how hard it would be to spend that amount of money? Wait till you hear how much they spent. A little over $1 trillion. That's over 4 years. Now, a lot of this money goes to all the right Democrat consultants who own all the right Democrat consulting firms, and they come in and advise you on how to love people who aren't like you, which apparently is a hard thing to do, and you need their assistance and training. No wonder the zip codes in and around DC have the highest per capita incomes in the entire country and the most expensive housing stock. What a ripoff. $1 trillion over 4 years. That's insane. One of the good things that's going on here with all of this is that we're shattering this myth of broke government. You know, like, wow, we just can't get by without all of these, all $7 trillion. We can't get by without it. We, you know, there's nothing we can cut. And, you know, what would happen to the American, all these stuff the Democrats say, what would happen to the American people? We can get by without it. In fact, we've increased spending 75% since 2019. People don't realize that. 75%. Since 2019. And people also don't realize that this bill that is probably going to pass today, and Donald Trump and Mike Johnson are demanding that it pass, they're going to primary anybody who doesn't vote for it, locks in that 75% increase. And think about this for a minute. This is what's so staggering about it. Remember when we were cutting all those COVID checks and it was supposed to be temporary? Yeah, that money's all in there. We're just spending it again. We didn't scale it back. It wasn't a one-time thing. Now, we're not going to cut COVID checks so that people at least would get their money back, but we're going to spend that amount. 75% increase since 2019, from just shy of $4 trillion to a little over seven, which is why we have inflation, and we're going to continue to have inflation. It's not going away. This bill passes. But they're promising someday they will cut someday. Maybe in September. Put it off till then. So we'll see. Everybody wondering what happened here. The eighth homicide in Austin, Texas so far this year. Also an InfoWars reporter. That's Alex Jones Network. It's a top 10 article in the country. So people are obviously very interested in this. Found around midnight. Reporter Jamie White brutally murdered. This is Sunday night. We don't know yet who did it, or, you know, if it could be determined why. Officers found him with obvious signs of trauma and, quote, blood all over the parking lot, unquote, at the scene. It's according to KXAN. Joe, we don't know who or what or why or any of that. He was taken to the hospital. They found him alive, where he died from his injuries. And again, we don't know how exactly he was murdered either, but a lot of folks keeping their eye on that. That's interesting that that is going on. This is interesting too. Folks, there is a fascinating history. It enrages the deep state every time it happens. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin teaming up to eradicate, like the roaches they are, Al-Qaeda and ISIS, after the Democrats and the deep state have spent years funding them and rebuilding them. This keeps happening. Last time it happened was fascinating. It was the caliphate. Jihadi rebels, moderates, they say, armed and trained by the Obama administration, mainly the CIA in Jordan, the State Department. USAID kicked in too. They were supposed to be moderate, but they never are. And that's because they don't background check them much. Ended up founding a 43,000 strong caliphate on the border of Iraq and Syria. Began mass murdering Christians, Druze, Yazidis, and other peaceful people, as they often do when we arm and train them. They immediately begin committing genocide, and they did. So Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin teamed up after Barack Obama and John Kerry said, well, it'll take decades to eliminate that caliphate. No, it took 9 months. They decimated it. It's not there anymore. You could see it with a satellite before, and you can't. We partnered with Russia and successfully took it out. So much so, folks, that you didn't hear the words. I mean, there really was not a jihadi problem or a Islamic terror problem for several years. It just vanished. Nobody talked about it anymore. That's how successful that effort was. It was brutal, too. I'll never forget Putin announcing, look, we're not the U.S. guys, so you run, we'll shoot you in the back. So run. It was awesome. Still gives me chills. And it worked. Well, is it about to happen again? Russia and the United States just request, just Russia and the United States, nobody else in the world, Russia and the United States just requested an emergency United Nations Security Council meeting to protest the violence against Christians and non-Muslims in Western Syria. They are absolutely executing them in mass. Raped women. Think about, picture this in a modern era. I mean, this is insane. This is like something out of the Middle Ages. Raped women paraded naked, chained by their necks to the square for execution by the thousands. By who? Well, Biden's jihadists. Arm them, train them. You know the ones. They were bragging about the job that they did, the Biden administration this fall. How they had overthrown Bashar Assad and ensconced the leader of Al-Qaeda in Syria as the leader of Syria. They were even trying to figure out how to get his group off the terror designation list and extend diplomatic relations to it. That guy. He's still Al-Qaeda. Now he has a country. And you know what they do when you arm and train them and they fight regional wars for you? They come here next. Last time they did that, it was called 9/11. We armed and trained them then too. So what is this? Watch this, because I can tell you how this is going to go. It's going to be awesome. It is. It's going to be really cool. The first step is for Russia and the United States to go to the UN, who will go, oh, it's Christians who are dying. Good. I mean, no big deal. And when they take no action, which they will not, because they're cool with it. In fact, it's so bad, the UN just invited this guy. Was it the UN or the EU? Oh, gosh, I just had that. So bad. It was, yes, it was the EU. Folks, we don't have anything. Christians do not have anything in common with the EU. The EU just invited Syria's jihadi ruler to Brussels for a conference. His people, he is the former leader of Al-Qaeda in Syria. All he did was change the group's name. Are literally mass raping and executing women and families right now. You should see the Orthodox priests are freaking out, begging the world to stop it. They're just being rounded up like animals and slaughtered. And the EU loves it. They think it's the bestest. It's not going to last much longer. I can tell because they're getting ready to do it again. This is exactly what Trump and Putin did last time. They go to the UN and say, hey, stop hanging out with that guy at the wine and cheese parties. He's Al-Qaeda and he's killing innocent men, women, and children. Entire families dragged out of their house and executed. and we're not doing anymore. When the UN inevitably does nothing, the bombing's going to start. You're going to see Trump and Putin start again, and they are going to knock down the deep state jihadis together, just like they did the caliphate. It's going to be awesome. But they got to get moving because the slaughter is massive. They've got over 7,000 people right now hiding from the CIA. This is Biden's CIA, not Trump's. Biden's CIA's jihadis on a Russian base just trying to survive. They don't have a lot of time. So we're going to have to get in there with planes and kill them again. It's like eradicating roaches. The Democrats build them up, arm them, train them, send them out to murder, and then we go out and we take them out. And we've got to take them out because, folks, their bloodlust is not going to be satisfied with merely killing Christians, Orthodox Christians in Syria. They're going to want to move on to something bigger, and that's going to be us, just like last time. Anyway, the good news is Trump has already started killing them. Not fast enough, unfortunately. It's not his fault. I mean, he can't do everything all the time. But he's already taken out two of them so far. The leaders, and think about this for a minute. This just goes to show you, folks, I mean, it's just how crazy this is. I mean, Biden administration taking credit for overthrowing Bashar Assad using al-Qaeda in Syria. And, wondering out loud, how can they extend diplomatic relations? And Trump's like, here's some diplomatic relations, flies in there and kills two of them. Unfortunately, it was not enough to save all those poor people this weekend, thousands of them and their families brutally murdered. Genocidally by the people our CIA, State Department, USAID installed. So we're going to do it again. But the good news is they're going to pound these people into the ground. I know they are. Again, Trump and Putin did it last time. They'll do it again. And they're going to have to because, again, they're going to end up here and Russia killing people. And on and on and on it goes. If you want to read about the first one of these guys Trump took out was February 18th. Trump congratulates U.S. forces after airstrike kills terrorist leader in Syria. A terrorist leader was working with al-Qaeda across the region and was a member of al-Qaeda in Syria. Okay, again, folks, just to emphasize, this is who the Biden administration was talking about extending diplomatic relations to just 2 months ago, 3 months ago now. And the EU is inviting these people to their wine and cheese parties. If you want to understand the global lines here and who's on what side and who's on the other, I think this segment pretty much does that. Well, Donald Trump asking everybody, hey, go and buy a Tesla. You know, these Democrats are running around acting like Elon Musk is out to steal your grandmama's Social Security check because, I don't know, he's just a bad guy who wants to steal the money. And if you know, their rhetoric is so transparent because... Who's the grandma whose Social Security money number, whatever, was stolen? Who is that? Don't know. How much is he stolen? Don't know that either. Well, how's he stealing it? No. But he's an evil billionaire who just wants to get rich somehow or some way. We're supposed to believe. Never mind that yesterday alone, leading the market drop, Tesla, 15% of its value wiped out. Somewhere between $16 and $29 billion worth of value in the same day, gone. He has lost, Tesla stock has fallen every week since Musk joined Trump's administration. This is not a good way to get richer. I'm telling you why. He's a patriot. He's not doing this to get richer. And the Democrats know it. They're the ones who robbed us blind. Tesla stock has fallen every week since Musk joined Trump's administration as head of Doge. The electric vehicle company has lost more than 50% of its market capitalization, equal to nearly $800 billion. But somehow he's there because he's going to steal the money from your grandma. You know why they keep saying steal, steal, steal? He's stealing. He's going to steal. Because they stole. They know they stole. I mean, look, folks, we've only found the $29 billion that they fast rapid transferred out of the EPA. And we happened to find that one because of a James O'Keefe investigative report. We haven't even scratched the surface of these other agencies. And we're supposed to believe that Musk, who's lost, at least company-wise, not personal, $800 billion, him personally, somewhere between 60 and 29, that he's in this for the money somehow to steal. They say this stuff in order to convince you that It's him stealing so that, and by the way, the target for that is not you, okay? It's their own sheeple. It's the Democrat sheeple. So that as you hear about the fraud and the graft, they stole from their own people. Stacey Abrams, $2 billion. They want you to think it's Musk doing the theft because they're afraid they'll be exposed to their own followers. Meanwhile, Elon Musk fears they will kill him if he goes too much further in finding out what they are doing. He continues to repeat this. I think he's right.
I mean, I've had quite a few friends call me and say, have you improved? You should definitely improve your security. I'm like, that's probably a good idea. They're like, they're definitely going to try to kill you. I'm like, yeah, that's a good chance, though. They might try to do that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If they shoot, they better not miss. So I'll find out who was behind him, not just who the gunman was.
Wow. If you shoot, you better not miss because I'm going to find out who did it. That just gives me chills. But folks, it tells you what kind of country you live in. Start asking questions about Democrat fraud and you might die. Here's how it works, by the way. This is from his interview with Joe Rogan.
It's kind of a hack to the system where, you know, someone can get an NGO stood up for a fairly small amount of money. Like George Soros is really good at this. Like George Soros is like a system hacker. Like he figured out how to hack the system. He's a genius at arbitrage. I mean, these days he's pretty old, but a genius at arbitrage. So he figured out that you could leverage a small amount of money to create a nonprofit, then lobby the politicians to send a ton of money to that nonprofit, so you can take what might be, you know, a $10 million donation to a nonprofit to create a nonprofit and leverage that into $1 billion NGO. A nonprofit is a weird word; it's just a non-governmental organization, and then the government continues to fund that every year, and it'll have a nice sounding name like the Institute for Peace or something like that. But really, it's a graft machine.
It's a graft machine. Now listen to this part.
A nonprofit is a weird word. It's just a non-governmental organization. And then the government continues to fund that every year. And it'll have a nice sounding name, like the Institute for Peace or something like that. But really, it's a graft machine.
And what are the requirements with that money? What do they have to do?
Just really no requirements at all.
So they just get grants and the government just assumes that they're doing good work.
I think a lot of people in the government know that they're not doing good work. It's a giant graft machine. I mean, people online are like unpacking this,
right?
You know.
Yeah. Headline. Doge chief Elon Musk says he's running businesses, quote, with great difficulty as Tesla shares tank. I'd wondered about this. How is he running all of this? The time management skills must be unbelievable. And apparently he has a breaking point too. He said this during an interview yesterday in Fox Business. Says he's running his businesses with great difficulty as shares of his automotive company Tesla suffered their worst drop in a half decade. And as his social media firm X experienced several outages because they're being attacked. Guarantee you the deep state's involved in there somewhere. I know there's a hacker group that took credit for it, but I guarantee they had partners. Musk also said during the interview that he expects to remain the Trump administration for another year. His stock has fallen every week since he joined the Trump administration. The electric vehicle company's lost 50% of its market cap, equal to about $800 billion. Musk tweeted yesterday, quote, "It will be fine long term." That was in a tweet replying to a post on X that noted Tesla's biggest single day stock drops in history. He says it'll be fine long term. Now listen to this. On Monday, Musk said there are currently just 100 people on Doge's team. That's all they need, positioned in nearly every government agency. That is an army. We absolutely need this. He says he expects the number to increase to 200 unless, this is the part that gives me chills, unless we're stopped, quote, we will get to $1 trillion of savings. He says they're finding about $4 billion a day. We will get to $1 trillion of savings. Why is that significant? $1 trillion of savings is half the deficit. We cut that over, you know, do it over about, you know, 18 months, 2 years. You wouldn't want to do it all at once. Cut it all out of, you know, 18 months, 2 years, and what do you have? Half the deficit's gone. Burden my kids will never carry. Let me give you an example. The bill that is set to pass today will add $20 trillion in 9 years to the national debt. $20 trillion. As Congress refunds everything DOGE has cut, while promising to come back in 2026 and actually make the cuts. This is going to cause Trump a lot of problems in court. Because now the Democrats, there's going to be a whole round of filings the second that thing passes. And the Democrats are going to say, correctly, the ones following the filing the lawsuits. Well, look, now the Republican Congress has funded this stuff. So they got to go ahead and spend the money, even if it's fraud, corruption, and waste. We just got to give Stacey Abrams another $2 billion. Got to do it all. So, and you know, folks, what's most disappointing to me is not even the fact that they are spending at the Biden level still, and that this will lock inflation in, and we'll probably have to run on inflation in the midterms. And that is the opposite of what Trump campaigned on. That is not what he campaigned on. No, none of that bothers me the most. No, what bothers me the most is we could have passed a big, ugly, busted out fat bill with every bit as much spending as Biden did. And we did. Yeah, we are on track to do that today. But if we just put that little paragraph in there authorizing DOGE and Trump to cut entire agencies, programs, or just Trump or just DOGE or whatever, doesn't matter, we can knock those lawsuits out, one paragraph, and they won't do it. Republican leadership wants it. Because see, then it wouldn't matter what they spent. Because if Trump and DOGE were authorized to cut and they were lawsuit proofed, which it would take one paragraph in that bill to do, they could allocate $40 trillion stupid printed dollars. And it wouldn't matter because everything would be cut. There's nothing to spend on. They won't borrow and they won't print. But they didn't do that. So Democrats, get one in the win column delivered by the Republican leadership in Congress. And maybe things will change later. All right, let's see what the people have to say on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Text writes, Tara, please get Representative Mount Ralph Norman on your show and ask him about the spending bill and how we are going to be able to pay for this crap. We're going to print it. And Republicans are going to own inflation by the midterms. I don't know of another mathematical way to deal with the situation. I really don't. I don't know why they would self-inflict this, but they are. No, look, it's subtle because I've explained this before. I've played the audio from Dave Pratt. You can't just cut like $2 trillion if you've been printing it. You can if it's real money. But if you've been printing it, you can't just cut it. It doesn't work. Because you'll have immediate GDP collapse. But you can cut half a trillion, you know, this 6 months and then wait, let it settle in, let the economic waters slosh back in of legitimate economic stuff that was pushed aside by the fake money. And then you do it again. We're not doing any of that. And we're going to have the same level of inflation. We just are. And we're going to have to either leave interest rates in place, which means no middle class. I mean, we're going to have a real estate market for the middle class, at least not those who didn't already own a home and, you know, have equity. Nobody else can afford to buy. They're going to have to rent. It's just shameful what Congress is doing. It's what they want. So they're going to have to run on it.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.